Now, when we sing walk in the light, you understand what that means, right? That means that you cannot have unconfessed sin in your heart. That means you have a pure heart before God. That's how you walk the Christian life. Amen, family. It is great to be with you this morning. So excited to be able just to worship with you. And as we sang that song, I was just talking to Patrick, my wife, and how when the Kernans come into town, we got to sing that song. Because, you know, Tim and Leanne are actually from Canada. So they speak French. So they'll appreciate that. So Brother Tony, amen, we'll keep that down ready for them. Amen. But guys, it is exciting to be with you. Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6.
Alright,
have you enjoyed our last series on prayer?
Yes!
I hope you've been inspired. You know, last week, if you were our guest, we concluded a series on prayer, really what it means to be victorious through prayer. Learning the Lord's Prayer revealed a roadmap in understanding Matthew chapter 6. Seeing what it means to praise God, what it means to really go to God for our provision, go to God for our priorities, making sure our personal relationships are connected and united. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Going to God for protection and remembering His promise. And of course, we said it's known as the Lord's Prayer, but of course, really, it's the disciples' prayer. Right, family?
Right.
Because it says, forgive, right? Forgive us of our sins, right? As we forgive those who sin against us.
Yeah.
Of course, Jesus wouldn't say that because He was perfect. So really, it was the disciples' prayer to focus on. And then, last week, we looked at the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17.
Yeah.
The greatest prayer ever prayed. And we saw here that prayer should do what? Prayer should help us to glorify God. That should be the goal of every Christian, is to glorify God.
Yes.
And so you have to ask yourself, is Jesus glorified in my life? Right? Not only is Jesus glorified in my life, but also, is every Christian truly sanctified? Are we really holy? Are you with me here?
Right.
Because again, we talk about how going to church doesn't just make you a Christian. Are you with me? Having a cross around your neck doesn't make you a Christian. The issue is repentance. The issue is obedience. The issue is holiness. That's what separates us from the world. Are you with me here? This is huge, guys. And so we need in our walk with God, we need to be glorifying the Lord. Jesus needs to be glorified. Christians need to be sanctified, right? So that the church can be unified, and so we can make the world, go get the world evangelized. Are you with me here?
Yes.
And so that was the heart. Those were the priorities of Jesus' prayer. And you have to ask yourself, are Jesus' priorities your priorities?
Right.
Are you with me here, guys? Otherwise, we're just playing church. Amen?
Amen?
But we know today is a great day because we have two more souls who've come to be baptized. We have Faith who has come to be baptized. And we have Bobby who has come to be baptized. And so, God is truly working powerfully.
Amen.
I'm praying for the sisters right now because I know the sisters didn't get any sleep. And so, and Faith neither, amen? Come on, but she's fired up. She was here early in her Bible, ready to go.
Amen.
So was Bobby. And we got here at 8:45 in the morning. They beat us here. Are you with me here, guys? These are two people that desire to seek God with all their hearts. And so, Ephesians chapter 6 here. You know, one of the things, as I was thinking about, man, what I want to do, because, you know, now that we've done the series on prayer, the challenge now is we have to live it.
Yeah.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
You've got to ask yourself, wow, is prayer really producing a peace in you? As Philippians 4 talks about.
Right.
Is prayer really producing a grace in you that helps you to forgive because you realize how much you've been forgiven of? Are you with me here? And I want to encourage you. So one of the things we're really praying about is starting times of prayer before services. So even on Sundays, before we have our Sunday service at 10 o'clock, coming here, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, whenever you want, but coming on in and the disciples coming and gathering to pray. Praying for the service. Praying for our visitors to come. Before midweeks, an hour or two, coming together to pray. Are you with me here? I know, I've been talking to several different disciples about this. This is important. We can't just know about prayer. Now we got to live it. Are you with me here? Now we got to put it into action. So I'm excited to get plans to make that happen here.
Amen.
One of the things that as I was studying out this whole series on prayer and really devoting my heart to it, is I realized why we need to pray. One of the key reasons why we need to pray is to protect us from the schemes of Satan. Now, this is important, family, because if you look at what Jesus prayed, he said, protect us from the evil one. Are you with me here, guys? This is huge. Which means that if you don't know what the schemes of Satan are, then guess what? You'll be led astray.
Yes.
And so really, the title of the lesson today is The Strategy of Satan.
Yes.
Are you with me here? The Strategy of Satan. And that's kind of the theme for the entire thing. And today we're going to look at Satan the Deceiver. Satan the Deceiver. Let's take a look here in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read here starting in verse 10. Are you with me? Let's take a look. In Ephesians 6 verse 10 it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power.
Amen.
Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes.
Amen.
Wow. So this is important. It says here, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can go to church.
No.
Okay. Put on the full armor of God so that you can go share your faith.
No.
Put on the full armor of God so you can pray or read your Bible. All those things are great. But why do we put on the full armor of God? So that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes.
Wow.
Are you with me here?
Right.
Are you in the battle? Do you even know, as a Christian, you are now in a battle?
Yeah.
Now, the good news, the battle's won.
Amen.
But Satan is trying to take you. He's a sore loser.
Yeah.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
And he's trying, because he's already lost, he's now trying to see, man, who can I woo away from God?
Mm.
Who can I pull away from God? And it goes on here and says in verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You ever get mad at someone? You get mad at a situation in life? The issue is not against people, guys. The Bible reads here. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I think if we really understood how serious this spiritual battle was, we would never miss our times with God. If you really understood what kind of battle we're in, I wouldn't have to challenge you to pray. I wouldn't have to challenge you to know and obey your Bible. I wouldn't have to challenge you to say, go get help from other people in your life who can see what you can't see. I wouldn't challenge you to, hey, go share your faith because people are sick and dying spiritually and going to hell. I wouldn't have to tell you those things if you really understood the schemes of Satan. Are you with me here? And so this is huge because if you're a guest here this morning, you may not even believe in Satan and his power. Some of us who are disciples of Christ too quickly forget. And here's the truth. Satan and his demons are real. And so Jesus actually personally recognized them by name. He started calling people Beelzebub, Matthew 12, right?
Wow.
But Jesus not only believed in Satan and his troops, he fought against them. I was studying this out. If you study it out, Jesus spent 25% of his ministry casting out evil spirits and demons.
Wow, man.
Can you imagine that?
Come on, bro.
Now, amen. We don't have to worry about that today, amen? Because the God has brought his spirit to be with us, amen?
Amen.
But he was casting out evil spirits. And I got to wonder, man, I hope there's no evil spirits up in here. That's why we need to pray.
Amen.
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 But Jesus realized how real Satan and his demons are, and we better as well. Because if we allow ourselves to become weak-willed, if we start to lack conviction, the devil can use us as well.
Yes.
You ever watch that movie, The Matrix?
Yes.
You with me here?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, now you see like the Asians can get into people in the room, and then all of a sudden they change. You're like, whoa, he's an agent.
That's right.
The devil can get into you too.
Wow.
And we're going to talk about that today. You know, 1 Peter 5 talks about the devil being, giving a metaphor of a lion, right?
Yeah.
A predator roaming around looking for someone to devour. And here's a question I have to think about. How, have you ever wondered how Satan's able to attack so many people around the world virtually at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever wondered that? Because think about it. Remember, Satan does not have the same qualities as God.
Yes.
He's a fallen angel. Right? He's a created being. He was an angel, but then he got prideful.
Wow.
You better hate pride in your life. It can turn you into Satan.
Right.
He's a created, he's a fallen angel. And since he's a created being, he's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. Are you with me here? He's not everywhere because he's not God. So what does he do? Since he can't be everywhere at the same time, he's finite, he sends his demons to do his busy work. Now, of course, the good news is the Spirit of God is within us. It's stronger than any demon. Are you with me here? When Bobby and when Faith get baptized in Christ, they receive God in them. Are you with me here? The Holy Spirit that guides them and leads them. And so, demons are just evil spirits who try to take people away from God and his truths. But we know Satan is the prince of demons, right? And so, we got to be prepared. Today, and over this series, we're going to look at a couple people that didn't just have issues with demons. They had a direct confrontation with Satan. Because if we want to know how Satan works, we need to examine it. How can you be in a battle if you don't examine your enemy? Are you with me here?
Yes.
Do you know the enemy? Do you know his tactics? Do you know his strategy? So you can defend against it. And so today, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at, as you take notes, we're going to look at the target Satan attacks. We're going to look at the weapon he uses to attack you. And we're going to look at the goal he wishes to achieve. Are you with me here? We're going to have this, it's going to be like an army. This is like a training for us going into battle, right? What is the target of Satan? What is the weapon he uses, the weapons he uses? And what's the goal he tries to achieve? Have I lost you? Are you with me?
Right?
And then the last point will be, what is the defense we have? Okay? And so guys, this is a battle with deadly consequences right here, because too often people take Satan for a joke. They think of him like the way people think of Halloween, dressed up in some red outfit with horns and stuff.
Wow.
You know, if Satan were to walk in here today, he would be the sharpest looking person in this room. He would roll up in a beautiful platinum G-Wagon with security. He would be kind.
Wow.
Yes.
Or look to be handsome.
Right.
Smell good. Money. You see, people think of Satan like, not Satan like that. He wants you to believe he's like that. So now when you go into the world, you don't even see Satan.
Wow.
Guys, let me tell you, as Christians, we don't laugh when former disciples turn their backs on the Lord and return to the filth of the world. But we can be blinded to the spiritual battle we face every day. And so, today we're going to examine one of Satan's most dangerous qualities, being a deceiver. Turn over to Genesis chapter 3.
Amen.
The first example from the Old Testament. The first person who encountered the devil himself. Not a demon. The prince of demons. Was Eve, our sister Eve. And as we examine Eve's interaction with Satan, we're going to identify Satan's targets, his weapon, his goal, and finally our defense. Amen?
Amen.
It's a little hot, so I'm going to get my stuff here ready to go.
All right. It's all right, brother.
Let's examine the strategy of Satan. Amen? Point number one. Satan's target is your mind. Satan's target is your mind. Because remember, guys, Satan's a deceiver. The definition of a deceiver is to mislead by false appearance or statement. Cunning. And the best things that mislead people are half-truths. Part true, part lie. It makes you doubt. It makes you question. Too often people get misled because they don't know the truth. And we're going to examine that today. Let's read here Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." That's interesting. If you read this story, you realize that's not exactly what Jesus, what God said. But we're going to get back to that in just a second. Verse 4. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her. Why would you let your wife talk to Satan? And he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open. They realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Let's stop here. So what do we see? Satan is crafty. Crafty. Crafty means to be skillful in underhanded evil schemes. That's what crafty means. You can be skillful in underhanded evil schemes. Kind of like the MMM here in Nigeria. There's a lot of evil schemes here in Nigeria. A lot of stuff that people get involved in.
Yeah.
And in their mind, they think, oh, it's okay, it's okay, it's all good. But no, you're taking money, putting money in people's bank accounts and then trying to get it out late and do all this stuff. Whoa, what's going on there? Are you trying to launder money? You see, guys, I don't understand all of it and I don't intend to. But Eve was naive. Eve was naive. I wonder if they get that from her. No, I just wonder. You know, you sometimes wonder how words come about. She was naive. She was led astray. But what was the target that Satan was after? Her mind. You see, guys, when Satan wanted to lead the first man and woman into sin, he started by attacking the woman's mind. Hold your spot here. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 11. I want to show you that this is true. You may be thinking I'm just making this up. So let's take a look and see what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to show you that what I'm saying is biblical. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Let's see what the Bible says here. Is everyone there? If you're a guest here, you don't know where the scriptures are, don't worry. Go to the front of your Bible, look it up right there, and then turn to it. We're a Bible church.
Amen.
Don't let pride stop you from going to the table of contents. The more you do it, the more you learn.
Amen.
Are you with me? And if you don't have a Bible, look on with someone next to you. That's the reason why people get deceived today. They listen to the pastor and they don't listen to the Bible.
That's
right. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. The Bible reads here. Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth. He says, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Wow. There it is. So what does Satan attack? Your mind. It's really interesting because it goes on to say, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, wow, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough.
Wow.
Oh, you don't have to do discipleship. Just go to a discipleship class. You know, myself and Bobby were starting to count the cost this week, and we met one of the managers at Nuts About Cakes. And I was asking him, he goes to a very large church in the area, a church that claims to have churches every 5 minutes from each other.
Oh.
And he said, you know, I go to this church, but I don't really get discipleship, so I have to go somewhere else to be taught discipleship. I go to a class that teaches me discipleship. What it means to be a disciple. And I'm like, really? And Bobby was like, well, discipleship's a lifestyle. He gets it. It's awesome to share your faith with someone. You know what I'm saying about when they say, I'm like, yes, he gets it. Are you with me here? And he's like, yeah. So I asked him, so why would you go to a place that you know is not teaching what it means to be a disciple? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I don't just go there. I go to a lot of places. You go to a lot of places. So what is this, like a buffet? You gotta go wherever you want to go, pick and choose. What? No, a church should be the foundation of truth.
Right.
That's what the Bible says.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But people get led astray. Well, I'll go here. You know, nowadays people go to churches for usually a couple things. Number one, a motivational speech.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about the prosperity God wants to have you love. Oh, yeah. You know, these guys get trained to talk like this, you know?
Yes.
They go to school, they learn how to teach, they learn how to preach in a way that's inspiring. Motivational guys, the world is motivational speaking too, you know. And they're very good at it. They make people feel like you trust in your own energy, trust in what God has put into you, and you can do anything. Trust in your own energy. Trust in what God has put into you. No mention about the Bible. So people go, they want motivate. Tell me how I will overcome.
Amen.
By trusting in my thinking and trusting in myself.
Always.
Believing in myself.
Amen.
It's humanism.
Yeah.
You are your own God.
Wow.
So people go to church and they want a self-help message. Then they go because they want entertainment.
Yeah.
I want to go to a concert.
Oh.
I want to sing. No, we need to worship God. That's awesome. But we got to be careful that we're not there just to have a concert and sing about Amazing Grace and then go sleep with our boyfriend or girlfriend.
All right.
Are you with me here?
Right.
Then they go. So not if it's not for the motivational speech or it's for the concert of music, right? Or it's going, and I'll be very honest, it's going for a spouse.
Yeah.
I can come to the church. There should be godly people here. Beautiful people, handsome people. And you see people walk in, and you're like, wow, look at the way people dress. They put so much effort in how people, not. Let me be very clear. We give God our best. I want to give God my best. The high priest, when you read in the Old Testament, he was decked out. Why? Because he wanted to give his best to God. He didn't just roll in there like he was, you know, walked out of bed, crawled out of bed, right? If we can give our best to our job and dress excellently for our job, we can dress excellently for to worship God.
Amen.
However, that is not the criteria of being a Christian.
Yeah.
And that doesn't validate you because now you have an expensive outfit on. Are you with me here? But sadly, people go for that. They sit next to the sister. Hey, how are you? Oh, the sister's like... And look at the brother. They wear things that are just a little bit suggestive. Showing a little bit way too much curve. They want to catch the eye.
Come on, Andrew, talk about it.
Because if I'm not married, then what am I? You're a child of God. You're a daughter of God. But I'll tell you. I mean, I see more marriage. Come here and find your spouse. Come here and find this. No, amen. We have a great plan to help people get have encouragement times and find great spouses. But whoa. Guys, I kid you not. Why are you here this morning? What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Are you being deceived and led astray? Are you looking for a different Jesus than what the Bible talks about? A Jesus that fits in your standard? A different spirit than what the Bible says? A different gospel? Why are you here? Let's get back here. Why would Satan want to attack your mind? Because he knows your mind is where God communicates with you. We understand his word and we process it in our mind. And so, if Satan can get you to believe a lie, then he now can begin to work in your life and lead you into sin. So, for example, if Satan could say, you know what, you won't find your spouse in this church. Therefore, you have to go outside to find your spouse. You know why? Because God doesn't really... You know that whole thing about when it says in Jeremiah 29 that God wants to prosper you and not to harm you? Is that really true? Did God really say that? You could take scriptures in the Bible and start asking questions the way Satan does in your mind. Are you with me here, guys? Guys, this is key. You know, in Proverbs 23:7, the Bible says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." In the NASB, right? You know how the doctor says you are what you eat? The psychologist says you are what you think. Are you following me? Satan knows the power of your mind. That's why, if you take a look in Philippians here, take a look with me real quick. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, let's see what the Bible says here. Philippians chapter 4, it says here, Philippians chapter 4, it says here, actually, start up in verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident at all. The Lord is near.
Amen.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your
minds.
See, prayer should what? Help protect your heart and your mind. Because why? Because that's exactly what Satan is going after. Your heart and your mind. Finally, brothers, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What do you think about? Is this how you trained your mind to think? Or are you thinking other things as well? So now, point number two, how does Satan attack? What is his weapon? Lies.
Wow.
Lies. You see, let's go back here to Genesis and let's examine this. We're going to have a little case study on Satan today.
Come on, Andrew.
Now we know, the Bible says in John 8:44, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Are you with me? That's who Satan is. He doesn't speak Yoruba. He doesn't speak Igbo. He speaks lies. It's not intense, right there.
Yeah.
That's his language. A lie. Everything out of his mouth is a lie.
Yes.
Right? Now, it's important to notice the steps that Satan took in getting her to believe this lie. Take a look here. Genesis 3. Is everyone back there? Come on back. Let's go. Come on, let's go. Genesis 3. First book of the Bible. Genesis 3. It says here, the first thing he did, what does he do? He questioned God's word. I want to show you how he attacks you. The weapons that he uses. Are you following me? He questioned God's word. He says in verse 1, did God really say? Do you ever start to question scriptures in the Bible?
Yeah.
Right? Did God really say that we shouldn't have even a hint of sexual immorality or impurity? I mean, come on. Everybody's doing it. Did God really say I shouldn't lie because liars get burnt, go to hell?
Yes, it did.
Is that really what the Bible says?
Come on.
Really? Can I just change that a little bit?
No.
So he questions God's word. And so he doesn't deny that God has spoken. He just questions whether God really said what Eve thought he said. Right? Maybe you misunderstood what God said. If you notice, here, I try not to quote a lot of scriptures to you, even though I could. I actually specifically ask you to open the Bible because I want you to see it.
Amen.
Very often, we think we know a scripture, but it's not actually accurate.
Yeah.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
And people get led astray because they say, oh yeah, this says this. But you miss a couple. Because like, yeah, seek the kingdom. Nuh-uh. Seek first the kingdom.
Amen.
Are you with me here?
Talk about it.
That changes everything. And so, it goes on. He questions God's word, right? And what he's doing here, he's inciting us to question the goodness of God.
Wow.
Is God really looking out for your best interests? That's what he's questioning. Does God really care about your financial issue? Does God really care about your relationship issue? He's trying to make you question the goodness of God. If God really loves you, he wouldn't keep it from you. That is what he's trying to make you think. He tried the same approach with Jesus in the wilderness. Matthew 4. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Right? But then, the second thing he does here is that he now denies God's word. So, when Eve went to him and said, hey, listen, we can't do that stuff. What does he say in verse 4? He says, you will not surely die. He now is denying what God said. He's saying, no, you won't get punished for doing evil. If we really understood the consequences for what we do, Would we do it?
No.
No, we wouldn't. And what Satan wants us to do is that there's no consequences, right? So he denies God's word. Once he gets us to question God's word, then we can deny it, right? But then, check this out. The next thing he does is that he substitutes his own lie.
Wow.
So, he's made you question it. He's made you deny God's word. Now, he substitutes his own lie. What does this mean? Look at what he says here. He says, verse 5, "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Did God ever say that? Absolutely not. Now he's putting in his own lie. You will be like God. That's what a lot of people sadly want to do, right? Adam and Eve were already made in the image of God, but now Satan's tempting them with an even greater privilege. No, you know what? You can be like God. Let's take a look. This is interesting here. I want you to see this. This is the reason why Satan fell in the first place. Hold your spot here. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 14. Can I give you some meat and potatoes?
Yes,
I'll
give you meat.
I'm not, if you're a guest here today, you've not come to a church that just teaches superficial stuff.
Amen.
You come to a church that wants to help you get deeper in your word.
Amen.
That wants to help you know the word of God. Take a look here in Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah, this is actually talking about Satan. Take a look at what it says here. In Isaiah 14, the Bible reads, verse 12, "How you fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn." I mean, guys, people thought, a lot of scholars believe, that Satan was, I mean, we know he was a fallen angel, but he was one of the great angels. Maybe an archangel. Some scholars believe that he actually led singing in heaven. Can you imagine? He was a song leader.
Wow.
Thank God we have Tony. Amen. All the time he was like, "It's not me, it's not me."
Come on, I'm Tony.
But you know, when you're talented,
yeah,
you get prideful. Isaiah 14, the Bible reads, "You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High."
Wow.
That was Satan's heart. You see, today when people want to be, they don't want to accept God because they want to be their own gods. They trust their own thinking more than anything else. He wanted to be worshipped and served like the Almighty God. And that was the attitude that led him to rebel against God and establish his own kingdom. And so guys, this is huge because this whole concept, this lie of you'll be like God, it motivates and controls our society today. People want to be their own God. And so they're seeking to like pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. Look at what I've done.
Yeah.
Look at what I have achieved. Look at what I have built. Is glory going to God? No. Glory is going to them. Through education, psychiatry, religion, people are defying God and deifying themselves. They're playing right into the hands of Satan. And the scary thing is, they claim to be Christians. So how does Eve respond to Satan's approach? She responded by making three mistakes. Interesting here. Look at Genesis 3. Are you with me? Have I lost you? How did Eve respond to Satan's attacks? You have to ask yourself, how do you respond? Number one, she took away from God's word. What does that mean? Well, take a look here. In Genesis chapter 3, it says, "The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Okay, let's stop there. What did God actually say? Look back in chapter 2. Look back in chapter 2, verse 16. Are you there?
Yes.
Chapter 2, verse 16. What did God actually say? It says here, the Lord God commanded the man, and Eve was there, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Well, that's interesting. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. So, what's interesting here is that now when the woman is talking to the serpent, what does she say in verse 2? We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. Did she say, we're free to eat from the trees in the garden? Except that one over there, that's not, we don't need to know. See, what that is that she now thinks God's like holding out on her.
Wow.
God's saying, you're free. You're free to eat. Just don't go over there. I don't want you to get led astray. But you're free. But sometimes we don't see our walk with God like that.
Wow.
We don't think we're free. We don't understand that God's just trying to protect us. Instead, it's like, follow God. We have to do this. We have to do that. Yes, we may have this. You ever feel like that in your Christianity?
Come on, Andrew.
Wow, you guys are quiet today. Either you're tired or you're convicted. Are you with me? Are you with me here? We don't feel free. You are free.
Amen.
What does the Bible say? Galatians says, I'm not going to quote it for you, but I'm going to let you see it for yourself. What does the Bible say here? Galatians chapter 5, hold your spot. Galatians 5 verse 13. It says here, you my brothers, you my sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Wow. Doesn't that even sound like Genesis when God was talking?
Right.
You're free, but don't do that. Because if you go there, oh no, that could lead you astray. Your nature can pull you away. He's trying to protect us.
Yes.
But you see, what happens is we take away from God's word and we stop thinking that God wants us to be free in Christ. And we start looking at our lives as more duty rather than desire. Are you with me here? Then, and again, that's where we start to think God's holding out on us. We're not free. God's holding out. He just wants to constrict us. We start to question and forget the grace and the goodness of God. Because once you do that, now it's easier to disobey. God's not looking at it for my good interest anyway, so why not disobey? He's just trying to hold me back. Look at what she does next. After she took away from God's word, now she added to God's word. Oh boy. Kind of like how people add to God's word today. The Catholic Church adds the catechism. This is the Catholic Church's way of interpreting the scriptures. We're adding our own stuff. Pentecostals do it today too. You know what they say? We have the Bible plus prophecy.
Yeah.
If you don't have prophecy, no, you can't understand the Bible without prophecy.
That's right.
Really? I thought 2 Thessalonians 3 says... I thought 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Which means that I don't need prophecy to thoroughly equip me, because if prophecy thoroughly equipped me, then that means that the Bible didn't thoroughly equip me, which means the Bible's telling a lie.
That's right.
Are you following what I'm saying? Whoa. You see, guys, if you go back to Genesis here, what does Eve do? She takes away from God's word, the freedom, but now she's now adding to God's word. What does she do? It says here, she says, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, even though that's not what he said. You're free to. But then look at what happens in verse 3. But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Whoa, hold on a second. Did God ever say anything about touching it? people, it's almost like sin is a line here. It's like, how close can I get to it? Mm-hmm. How close can I get to it without actually sinning? How close can I get to that person without actually being impure? Can I flirt a little bit?
Talk about it, bro.
Can I touch just a little bit? I'm a little moral. Guys, you start adding stuff to God's word.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at all these churches today. They're adding a whole bunch of stuff. Everyone's got to dress in white. Really? Did Jesus dress in white all the time?
No.
Really? Is that? What about Joseph? Didn't he have a multicolored coat?
Yeah.
I mean, what is this nonsense? People start adding so much stuff to God's word. And so what's interesting here is that not only did Eve make God's word less gracious by omitting the whole aspect of being free, but now she actually made his words more grievous by saying, touch it. He's like, I don't want you to look at it. Don't touch it. Don't do nothing. So, whoa, God's not like that. He's not trying to, like, be overbearing. He's just saying, I'm trying to protect you here. Satan wants us to believe that God's commands are burdensome.
Yeah.
You ever feel that way?
Yes.
Have you ever felt that God's commands are burdensome?
Yes.
Let me show you something. 1 John chapter 5.
Amen. Come on.
This is important.
Sure.
I want you to see this. I can quote it, but let me just, I want you to see it yourself. 1 John chapter 5. It's such a burden to see first the kingdom. Oh, it's such a burden to come to the meetings of the body. It's such a burden to be pure. It's such a burden.
Preach.
Let's see what the Bible says in 1 John here. The Bible reads, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. It says, oh, first of all, before I read it, how many people here love God? Okay, well, you guys were a little slow to the uptake, but okay. There's some of you that didn't raise your hands.
Come on.
I guess those must be the guests.
Talk about it, bro.
1 John chapter 5, verse 3. What does the Bible say? This is love for God. Okay, this is it. You ready for it?
Yeah.
This is love for God to come out on Sunday morning. Is that what it says?
No.
Oh, sorry. Let me read that again. This is love for God to speak in tongues.
What?
No. Wow. Okay, let's try that one more time. This is love for God to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world.
Yes.
Wow. You see, guys, if you think that God's commands are burdensome, the reason why is very clear. It's because you don't love God.
Yes.
If I thought that taking care of my kids were burdensome, that means I didn't love my kids. If I thought that encouraging and taking care of my wife was burdensome, that means I don't love my wife.
Yeah. That's right. Talk about it.
Guys, I think we got to really check our hearts right here.
Yes, amen.
Has God's commands become burdensome to you? Because if God's commands are burdensome to you, guess what? Don't worry. Satan has something to offer you too. And so what happens is you say, no, God's commands are too burdensome. No, go somewhere else where you can do whatever you like. You don't have to obey God. No, who are they to even say you don't love God? That pastor, how judgmental he is.
Wow.
Who are you to say that you don't love God? If you come to the church building, if you speak in tongues, if you sing, if you have a cross around your neck, you are loved by God. You are God's child.
Come on.
Do you not sing?
Wow.
Do you not pray?
Wow.
Obviously, so you're a child of God. Do you obey? We want our kids to obey, but we don't. And why does God want us to obey? Because he just wants to protect
us. Amen.
Yes.
Come on.
You know, it's interesting here. The last thing is, she changed God's word.
Wow.
It's interesting. If you go back to Genesis here, God did not say, or you will die. He said, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. It's like, whoa. The penalty for disobedience, as presented by Satan, did not seem as harsh as God's penalty. The goal is sometimes we don't think the consequences are as bad as we think. You follow what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
We water down the consequences because we don't think it's that serious. And so guys, once you've treated God's word like this, you've opened yourself up for the devil's final trick. All he had to do was to encourage Eve to consider the tree apart from God's word. Don't think about God's word right now. Just look at the tree and look at it for what it has to offer you. Forget about what God's word says. Just you in your own mind, appreciate the tree. Forget about God's word. Just you now in your own perspective. Tell me what you see. Does it not look good to you? It's kind of like the Bible, right? When it says, you're free, 1 Corinthians 7, to marry anyone you wish, but 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm stopping myself. You see this time and time again. What does the Bible say? Because I think, again, this whole freedom aspect is something we just don't get. We think God's trying to hold out on us instead of protecting us. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. Take a look at this. It says, a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is what? Free!
Amen.
To marry anyone she wishes, but
he must
belong to the Lord.
Amen.
He must be a baptized disciple or else, whoa, he will lead you astray. She must belong to the Lord, or else she will lead you astray. You see that whole concept of free again, right? What's really interesting is, this is what Satan wants you to do. He's like, nah, forget the scripture. Forget the scripture. Just look at him. Look at her. Is she not beautiful? Is he not handsome? Does she not have money? Does he not have money? Look at the car he drives. Wow. Look at what happens here. In verse 6, when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food. Oh, he's good husband material. Pleasing to the eye. Wow. She's gorgeous. And also desirable. For gaining wisdom. Wow. She even sounds like a Christian. She sounds so good. And she cooks. Wow. Desirable. You see, when you take things apart from God's word, and so what did she do? She took some. And she ate it. And then she gave it to her husband, who was with her. And he ate it. Marrieds, brothers, lead your wives.
Amen.
You know, she had a choice right here to obey God's word or Satan's word. And she rejected God's word. Do you understand, and I want you to get this, that when you reject God's word, you're actually accepting Satan's word? I really want you to get this. When you reject God's word, you're accepting Satan's word. You see, guys, God accomplishes his will on earth through truth. Satan accomplishes his purposes through lies. Faith in God's truth leads to victory. Faith in Satan's lies leads to defeat. But you know, the funny thing is, Satan never advertises, "This is a lie!" He doesn't do that. He wouldn't do that. He's a deceiver. So he always masquerades his lies as God's truth. Take a look in 2 Corinthians 11. Now I'm going to bring it home. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I want you to see this now. Because we see a lot of half-truths around here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's read in verse 13. He masquerades his lies as God's truth. The Bible reads in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen masquerading as apostles of Christ." Are there people that masquerade today as apostles of Christ?
Yes.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yes.
Verse 14, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." Wow. Wow. You see, guys, Satan didn't approach Eve in his true nature. He masqueraded as a serpent. Maybe it was like just a little snake. I mean, she's bigger than him, so, well, how could you bother me? Right? I'm bigger than you. You can't really hurt me, right? Satan, guys, is a counterfeiter. He's an intimidator, or rather, imitator, rather. And what's interesting today is there's a lot of counterfeit imitations of Christianity. There's counterfeit Christians, 2 Corinthians 11:26. There's a counterfeit gospel, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. There are counterfeit ministers of the gospel, 2 Corinthians 11:14. This is very intense, guys, because the Bible says here in 15, "It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve." You know, I was talking, having a great time together with the Akinfenwas and the Edes yesterday. And, you know, it's interesting. As we think about the culture we live in, people don't like calling men of God. They don't like questioning men of God. Are you with me here? We live in a culture here where people have a lot of respect for clergy.
That's right.
They have a lot of respect for men of the cloth.
That's right.
Are you with me here?
Okay.
It kind of comes from even the culture. Again, I'm American, but I'm learning. I'm learning even about Yoruba culture. And how the respect you must have for family. How, like, an older brother makes a mistake, but now the younger brother has to deal with and actually take the blame for it.
Right.
I'm like, what? Because he's the older brother, now you have to take the blame as a young...
Yeah.
What? And you see all this stuff, you're like, this is a lot of false humility here.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, don't get me wrong. I do believe that we need to respect those in righteous leadership.
Yes.
You know, I appreciate my wife. We're American. We weren't taught all this stuff. But every time my wife sees Uncle Bennett or an older person, whatever, she...
Come on.
I really respect that. She has adopted the respect.
Amen.
You're not an idol, but she will respect you. Little bell right there. If I see older people, I will come to them. I'll speak up to them out of respect. They're not an idol, and I will not disobey God for them. Are you with me here? But sadly, there will be people that will literally listen to their family, listen to their elders more than what the Bible says. So who's your God? Who's your God? Guys, there are counterfeit Christians, counterfeit gospel, counterfeit ministers of the gospel. There's even counterfeit righteousness.
Yes.
Romans chapter 10, verse 3. There are counterfeit churches.
Yes, there are.
Can you believe it?
Yes.
Revelation 2:9. What does it say? They're not a synagogue of the Lord. They're a synagogue of Satan. Whoa. And there are counterfeit churches that have counterfeit doctrine. Why do I always preach on this, family? Because if we're not careful, we too can be led astray by Satan's cunning. We can start to think, oh, it's a different Jesus, a different spirit, a different gospel, and we put up with it easily enough. Have you stopped teaching the truth? Or have you gotten a little bit quiet when someone says something that's false around you? Are you with me? Are you starting to put up with false doctrine around you? Or do you challenge when people come to you with nonsense? Do you show them in love the word of God and call them to obey it? Are you with me here, fam? Because if you don't do that, if you're quiet, you're putting up with it.
That's right.
And you know what? Either you're part of the problem, part of the solution, or part of the landscape. You're doing nothing. We must be God's ambassadors. Are you with me, family?
That's right.
Are you with me, family?
Yes. Come on, Andrew.
Satan targets your mind. His weapon is lies. What is his goal? To make you ignorant of God's will. He doesn't want you to know God's word. If you're a guest here this morning, I want to encourage you. We want to study the Bible together with you.
Amen.
We want to sit down and we want to get united in God's word with you.
Yes.
Because apart from the word of God, we have no sure understanding of the will of God.
Amen.
People say, God has spoken to me. Really? What does he say? Oh, he's telling me that this is the year of irreversible prosperity. Okay, can you show me where irreversible prosperity is in the Bible? No, please tell me. Oh, he's spoken to me. What did he say to you? This is a year of divine speed. He's spoken to me. This is the year where my case is different. He's spoken to me. He's spoken to you. How do you know he's spoken to you? Which ear did he speak in? Let me stop. This isn't funny. This is not funny. Guys, I don't know about you. I desire to do the will of God. The Bible says here, if you want to know God's will, Psalms 40 verse 8 says, I desire to do your will, O God. Your law is in within my heart. So if God's word is not in your heart, you don't know the will of God.
No.
Don't tell me that God speaks to you. Wow. If the Bible says that once and for all, we've been given his word. Jude. Do we know the Bible? Guys, what is the will of God? Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2.
Come on, Andrew.
What does the Bible say? See, he wants to make you ignorant of God's will. He doesn't even want you to turn in your Bible right now. Even though I just told you to turn in your Bible. Actually, you know what? He doesn't even want you to own a Bible. He just wants you to go to church and listen to the pastor. Because obviously, whoever speaks up here must know what they're talking about. You know why I left the field of medicine to go into ministry? It's because I saw too many false doctors. Too many false ministers. My mother was led astray and she died of cancer. Like our dear brother who passed recently, Anichi Agua. She was led astray by Satan's lies. Even though I showed her the very word of God. And I've told you this before. I showed her Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. She said, Andrew, I know what you're saying is true. But I cannot accept it. Because if I do, I condemn my family. Satan had so twisted her mind that she stopped following the word of God. I mean, this is a woman, master's degree.
Wow.
Pulled herself up from Jamaica. Found her way to New York. Purchased her own home. With her own money. Became a nurse, rose up the ranks to become a nurse administrator.
Wow.
overseeing all of the budgeting and finance for the hospital and payroll. A woman, brilliant. And yet Satan had deceived her to the point where she wouldn't even obey the word of God. You think just because someone's intelligent, they're wise? You think someone, because someone has a career or is competent, they have character? 1 Timothy chapter 2. What is the will of God? The Bible says here, in chapter 2 verse 3, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men, all women, all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. What is the will of God, family? That more people like Faith, more people like Bobby, say that Jesus is Lord and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins.
Amen.
Is the will of God your will? When's the last time you were in a Bible study? When's the last time you were going after being fruitful? If you're not in the battle family, trust me, you will be in the battle for Satan.
Yes.
The devil always finds work for idle hands. If you are not in the battle trying to be fruitful to help other people become disciples, trust me, the devil will find you and make you busy doing something for him.
Yeah.
It's time to get some Bible studies in this church.
Amen.
It's time for every Bible talk to start baptizing.
Yeah.
It's time for every disciple to say, I'm going to be fruitful.
Yeah.
I'm going to go up there. I'm going to study the Bible. Let me tell you, with Bobby, Bobby was not an easy guy to study the Bible with. I love this guy. This guy, he had at least 100 questions. He was agnostic. He had a background where people didn't believe in God. I said, he was the first person I've met in Nigeria who was a true agnostic.
Wow.
He really wasn't sure. And he had stopped going to church. He was a musician. You should hear him play the piano.
Yeah.
He was literally going to churches, playing for them, and not believing in God.
Wow.
He stopped going to church. He said, until I met you guys, I stopped studying the Bible. I stopped going to church. You guys made me believe. You showed me the scriptures. Day in, day out. I appreciate Josh and the brothers. Man, playing basketball, having fun, answering questions, apologetics, this, that, and the third. I said, it's not about knowledge. It's about faith.
Yes.
But you must believe.
Right.
And you gotta understand, this isn't just blind faith. You have to know why you believe.
Exactly.
The Bible isn't for idiots.
That's right.
You gotta understand the science. Understand it. Science and the Bible coexist.
Absolutely.
I'm so proud of you, Bobby.
Come on.
I know the sisters feel the same about faith.
Yes.
But you gotta ask yourself, do you really want to do the will of God? Because the will of God ain't easy. And the will of God exposes where you are. Because you can't teach somebody something you ain't doing yourself.
That's right.
Maybe that's why we don't do it. Because we don't want to be hypocrites. Family, our defense, the one thing that's going to protect us from Satan is the Word of God. One of the things that will defend us is the Word of God. You know, we don't have time today to finish it out, but I just want to close out with this. If you don't know the Word of God, you are opening yourself up for Satan.
Yes.
Take a look over here in John chapter 8. We'll close out here.
Come on, Andrew.
Come on, bro.
The Bible says here, in John chapter 8, the Bible reads here, to the Jews, verse 31, John 8, 31, the Bible reads, to the Jews who had believed him. Do you believe in Jesus this morning?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Jesus said, that's enough. Absolutely not. What does the Bible say? If you what? Hold. Wow, that was kind of cool. Oh!
Hey!
The cymbal started to shake there. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Isn't that awesome? God wants you to be free. If you hold to the word of God, what shows that you're really a Christian? Obedience. Unless you hold to the word of God, you're not a disciple of Jesus. Let that sink in right there, especially for the guests who are here. Is that my word?
No.
That's the word of God.
Yes.
And so, my friends, this morning, you must know God's word. I want to challenge you, memorize God's word, but make sure you go back to the word, amen, so you don't memorize it wrong.
Right.
You got to meditate on God's word, and you got to use it. Because the truth of it is, you got to ask yourself, do you spend time daily reading, meditating, memorizing, applying the Bible to your life? Did you actually have time with God this morning and read your Bible?
Amen.
Or were you waiting for me to open the Bible to you?
Wow.
Who read their Bible this morning? Amen. Okay. That's few. You know why? Because you don't think it's important. You've got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, family.
Yeah.
If you claim to be a Christian, do you understand the battle we're in? Do you want this church to grow?
Yes.
Do you want to be free from Satan's attacks? Do you want to be protected? Then how can you possibly defend yourself against Satan if you're not in God's word? I feel like God is speaking to me. How? By his word. You want God to speak to you? Read the Bible. Don't tell me about some hearing that you've had. I mean, at the end of the day, God does speak to us through his spirit, but it's always through the word of God. Do you spend time reading Acts 17, verse 11? Do you find yourself bringing scripture to mind when you're tempted? If you memorize it, it's on your heart. Are there any lies in your mind right now that you're believing? And do you really know God's will for your life? Family, we're in a battle this morning. I have the privilege of being one of your captains.
Amen, bro.
I'm telling you right now, if you don't hold on to the word of God, you will fall away. Some of you are visiting today after being gone for a long time. And you know who you are.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yes.
You are one step away from falling away.
Yeah.
If you haven't already fallen away in your heart.
Yeah.
Are you listening to Satan's lies this morning?
Come on, Andrew.
Are you allowing him to deceive you and pull you away? Let's not let Satan be more eager to pull us away from God than we are to get to know him. Thank you very much. I love you.